Twice when I was growing up, I asked questions so stupid that they brought the class to an absolute standstill. The first time, I realized what I had done almost instantly. The second time, I was clueless until the laughing started. You would think that after experiences like that, I would never ask another question. But no, it seems that asking dumb questions paved the way for asking better ones. Or maybe at a very early age, I just got over the embarrassment of not knowing. I wonder if this is the only way it has to be. Maybe it's changeable. In fact, Liz, you could change it. That would be my father talking passionately at dinner about almost anything political, but most especially about civil rights. Or it could be my mother whispering about self-knowledge while she drove me to dance lessons. They both had their methods for making me think about my responsibilities and role in the world, as well as about the nature of change. But either way, to make change at all, you first have to notice what is going on around you or inside you. If you are a child or a young adult, noticing frequently takes the form of complaining. It took me a while to see the connection between that infernal crankiness and a method of inquiry. So in the sacred space of the ballet school dressing rooms with young dancers bemoaning the fat that will forge their fate, crying as they measure the full circumference of their waist with their own two hands, I am watching and thinking, isn't there a better way for us to be sharing our precious time before class? Or an even more radical question, is that skinny frame actually so beautiful? And by the way, why are my feet bleeding just so I can stand up on my toes? Whose idea was that? In the chaos of Hebrew school with little learning, less nurturing, and confirmation as our only goal, I am thinking, can't the adults see that we are wasting our time here? And some of us actually might like to speak this language. Do they even care what we think? Why don't they? Or standing at an anti-war demonstration at the Vermont State Capitol in the winter, freezing and wondering, is this really helping anything? The questions trip over each other. They never stop. It took a while to understand that this could be a way of life, a way of making art, a way of making space for others to engage in conversation, of naming things to encourage dialogue, of reordering ideas, or of making something useful or beautiful or both. It can be destabilizing to think like this. The constant questioning implies a lack of knowledge, and the ambiguity of so many of the kinds of answers I could come up with didn't always serve as an antidote. I tried to make a virtue of not knowing, which often proved difficult in part because in our culture, in the media, and in many educational establishments, smartness is defined by the ability to have answers in a hurry, stated well, and without complication. Oddly, though, this not knowing has become a bridge to good conversation and friendship, not just with artists, but with clergy and scientists, too. There is a kind of shared delight and sometimes misery in the recognition that this source of inquiry can be an engine. And besides, I eventually learned that I can pull myself out of most disasters through methods that emerged long ago in processes of endless repetitions and trial and error. I can count on various means of discovery so that moments of not knowing are more like guideposts than endings.